Today's service is going to be a bit different. Instead of one speaker, we will have nine, not including me. Why? Because I have asked nine persons from this fellowship to consider a question posed by the Unitarian Universalist poet Mary Oliver. Let me read you her poem, The Summer's Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Our guest speakers today represent every decade of life from the first through the 90th. Each speaker will give us his or her answer to the question, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? But before we hear from our speakers, I'd like to share with you how this service came to be. Several years ago, as a member of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Indianapolis, I was asked to participate in this same service. I was intrigued by the question and agreed to be a speaker. Because of the number of speakers, each person could only talk for 1 or 2 minutes. It sounded pretty easy to me. Well, it might have been easy for some, but it wasn't for me. It challenged me to consider the question carefully and to really think through my answer. It also struck me that each person's answer was intimately tied to where on the continuum of life they happened to be at that moment. And it was fun. We've given this service at UUFSD before. The last time was January 2016. Today we're going to do it again with a whole new group of speakers. So without further ado, I'd like us now to consider our guest speakers' insights as they answer the question, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? We begin with Hudson Fox, who represents persons under 10. Tiffany Fox will read what her son has written. Tiffany?
Hudson has drawn a picture here, and on it he says, when I grow up, I want to be a scientist. Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say?
Next, we'll hear from Ohana Hotfeld.
Morning. When I was little, I remember thinking about what I wanted to be when I grow up. Was it a doctor, a firefighter, an astronaut? There's so many options, I couldn't possibly decide. As I got older, however, I realized that what I really needed to decide was what I wanted to achieve and what kind of person I wanted to be. What will I do with my one wild and precious life? I will, unfortunately, make mistakes, just like everybody else, and I'll learn from them. I will be the bigger person, no matter how hard it may be. I will eventually realize that being one of the cool kids in school doesn't matter as much as it may seem now. I will laugh and cry and surround myself with people that bring out the best in me. I'll be positive and try to spread positivity to the people in my life. I will understand that life isn't always fair, and that I have to accept that sometimes things don't go to plan. I will learn that it isn't about me all the time, and that nobody notices that my knees look weird in that one dress. And most importantly, I will be truly, proudly myself, no exceptions. Thank you.
For our next decade, we have Callan Hyland. No, I skipped somebody. Who did I skip? Oh, Karen Fowler.
Good morning. I think when I think about my one wild and precious life, it's easy to come up with large overarching themes. I want to give back. I want to do something good. I want to have a job where I feel like I'm contributing something to society. But it's easy for me to say those things, and I think in my 20s and starting my career, what's hard is figuring out how I actually do that. So right now I've been working as an interior designer for 4 years, and I've started thinking, okay, what's next? Okay, I did this. Okay, what do I want to do next? And how do I figure out what to do next? And so I start thinking, well, okay, is it a new job? Do I go back to school? Is it a new career? And I think as someone who's grown up as a millennial and who's grown up in our culture, I feel like I could do anything. And to me, that's a blessing and a curse. If you can do anything, how do you choose what to do? And how do you pick a path? And how do you know that's the right path? And I think that's my biggest question. And how do I figure out what I want to do with this wild and crazy life and precious life? And I think the answer is I don't know right now. But what I know is I want to enjoy the journey. And I want to enjoy the ups and the downs and the hard questions. And I want to enjoy figuring out what I want to do, no matter what that is. So thank you.
And now for the next decade, we have Callan Hyland.
Good morning. So this question comes at an interesting time for me because I'm right in that area where between being a young adult and being an unequivocal adult, at the point where one might not just ask, what do you plan to do with your life, but why aren't you doing it already? 10 years ago, if someone had asked me this question, the answer might have had something to do with a job or a profession. But in the years between, I've seen how easily anything external can be taken away by circumstances outside of your control. And I've started to see professional identity as being almost as flimsy as a material possession. So in thinking about this question, I've tried to peel back this obvious interpretation to see what's behind it, to see What is a purpose that can be meaningful and lasting and can't be taken away by robots? I am happy that I have found some clues in the rest of the poem, in the rest of Mary Oliver's poem. In this, I see her passionate questioning and her intentional observation of the natural world that points towards a way of relating to people and with other living beings that needs only an open mind and patient understanding. I used to think that in saying, I want to be a perpetual student was to avoid the question of what I wanted to do with my life. But in considering Mary Oliver's approach to life, I see that it's actually a big part of the answer.
Thank you. Tanya Strauss is our next speaker.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Tanya Strauss, and I'm going to set a little timer here because I have a two-minute limit. So I get to introduce myself before starting the time. So today is a very special day in my life. Every year, June 24th is a bit like a four-letter word for me because 24 years ago, my father was killed in a car accident on this day. And he was 49 at the time that that happened. And so when Candace asked me to speak about being in my 40s, I'm 43, I realize it's very poignant because the number of 40s has always sort of had a bit of an awkward halo in my life. So thinking about being in my 40s and what does that mean to me, I kind of think that a lot of what I've done up to now is think about surviving. Like I just wanted to get past the next thing. Like I've always tried to figure out how to get to the next thing and stay busy enough that I didn't have to think about thriving. And now I'm at a point where like I'm just so sick of being busy and I'm so sick of being, I don't know, you know what I'm talking about? Like I just feel like there's so much to do. And now I just want to watch my children and embrace them. And I just want to be here with all of you. And I don't know, that's not much of a message, is it? But like, I just want my life to be very, very simple. And I've found a way throughout my 43 years to make every day as complicated as it could be. So I'm trying to figure out how to be okay with being okay. And getting to speak with you today really is a very special experience. So thanks for having me.
Our next speaker is representing persons in their 50s. It's Karen Remus.
Good morning, everybody. As Candace told you, thank you for that. I am 51, almost 52 years old. And when AARP asked their members, all of whom are 50 years or more, what their favorite thing about being in their 50s was, there was a common response, freedom. Freedom. And I personally find that to be true in my 50s. If my husband and I want to go out to dinner, I no longer have to book a babysitter. In fact, my baby is 17 years old and can drive us to and from dinner if I'm so inclined to ask, which is kind of nice. Also, we found, you know, it's nice, we do have more financial freedom, which is great. I mean, we haven't hit the lottery or anything, but compared to my 20s and my 30s, when we were really trying to establish ourselves in our careers and such, we do have a lot more financial independence, which is great. So what exactly am I going to do with this 50s freedom? Three words. I will act. When children are being pulled from their parents' arms at the U.S.-Mexican border, less than 30 miles from where we are currently sitting, I will act. With many of you yesterday, I marched in downtown, and we were praying and marching, raising our voices to end this atrocity. On Friday, I was at the Otay Mesa Detention Center in support of Senator Kamala Harris as she was shining a light on this dark chapter in American history. Last week, I called my elected officials and I asked them to bring an end to this travesty. I made contributions to nonprofit charities and organizations leading the legal charge to stop this illegality. There's a famous quote that says, "An idea not coupled with an action never grows any larger than the single brain cell it originally occupied." So Candace Sage, in response to the question you posed to me by email a few weeks ago, what will I do with my one precious and wildlife? I will act.
Our next speaker is John Acheson. John?
Good morning. When I was 32, I quit smoking. I told myself that I could always start again when I was 60. Seemed to me it wouldn't matter much at that point. I'm 69 now, and the 60s don't seem nearly so ancient. In my 30s, 40s, and 50s, I followed Dylan Thomas's advice and raged against the night. I ran, I exercised, I ate right, I tried to grasp life by the neck, wrestle it down, and make it submit to my bid for immortality. But the 60s are a crueler master. They don't take no for an answer. The evidence of my mortality is all too obvious to me each and every day. I make old man noises when I stand, and sometimes I feel like someone has to crank me up before I can move forward. I no longer run, but I do still walk. And while I find it impossible to believe that I'm this old, it's equally astonishing to me to realize I am as happy now as I have ever been. So why am I so happy? I have always believed that we regret the things we didn't do but wanted to far more than the things we did do but shouldn't have. So I look back on a pretty full, if slightly misguided, life. I found meaning in fatherhood and friendship, and still do. And Linda and I, after more than 20-some years, still look at each other in disbelief, astounded that we found each other and that we are still so much in love. And what will I do with the time that's left now that death's door no longer shimmers on the distant horizon, barely visible, but looms nearer now and undeniable? I will live in the now, and I will live it well. Shakespeare said that all the world's a stage. From the vantage point of the 60s and the years ahead, the stage will be set with the wonders we are uncovering with our mind and the miracles revealed by our heart. Because life truly is a wild and precious gift we are all given, and it would be a sin to waste even a minute of it on anything other than joy, gratefulness, reverence, and awe.
Great. I call on Ernie Dunn to speak next.
Good morning. A lot of these people are a very hard act to follow, so I'm going to just be a little bit brief. What do I plan to do with my one wild and precious life? Developing a plan has been a lifelong process. When I was young, I struggled with my Chinese-American identity. I knew I wanted to serve people. An uncle suggested social work, so I went to college and graduate school. The profession is rewarding, but the spiritual dimension was missing for me, which is how I became involved with Unitarianism. Also through marriage, divorce, therapy, marriage again, I learned how to accept my strengths and limitations and appreciate my journey. I am grateful for the many blessings in my life, my wife, children, extended family, friends, and the opportunities for education and service. Now I want to give back to the community for the bounties that I have received, which is why I am a CASA, an OWL facilitator, a pastoral listener, and a board member. I hope to make a small difference in the world. Thank you.
And finally, representing people in their 80s, is Sheila Fugard. Sheila?
Good morning. As you can see, I'm in my 80s. I had to have help getting up here. But that's not what my spirit is about, or I think for most people in the 80s. This is probably the last decade of my life. My life's no longer so wild, it can't be, but it's still so very precious. I treasure what is still here. Those moments when I've looked into my grandson's eyes and know that I will not be here for his future. I will have become his memory. I think back to my many years in South Africa where I lived through the terrible devastation of the apartheid regime, and finally I had the privilege of being there when Nelson Mandela was released. You see, all these memories are so precious now, so still alive, Yet there's still so much to celebrate. The sunset, waves breaking against the shore. Every moment is precious, and that is what is left now. And I will end with a poem that I wrote that I think celebrates what I feel. The poem is called The Awakening. When they haul me out of the grave, touched by the quickening spring, my spruced up and laundered body, freed from all the embalming loam, I will, as spirit and splintered bone, pay attention to earth and its ardor. The cry of hollow spaces echo in song, bone and twig snap in unison. Each tree from annual ring to summit is the ebony shard of a new god. The sun king walks in the sky. He gathers the light in his net, garnering the harvest of freedom. The tall trees are ships docking in a sea of sky, tethered by light. My old bones are silver heirlooms now, housed in sun's atrium of day, before the night will cover me again. Thank you.
I thank you to all of our speakers. What wonderful things they had to share with us. Thank you. You have given us not only your insights, but inspire us to answer this question for ourselves. So for the rest of us, I invite each of you now to consider the same question in the context of your own life at this particular moment from your own unique perspective. Perhaps when you do so, you just might shed a little light on the mystery that is your own one wild and precious life. May it be so.